On the television, a white, spidery thing stands long-legged against dark shadows. Nothing except talk has happened for a long time. My brother and sister and I are under my granny's kitchen table, wrapped in eiderdowns, half dozing, half listening. I learned about the moon in school. The teacher had an orange and a ping pong ball and a torch. I learned that the man in the moon isn't real, but that after tonight he will be. Our teacher says it's not impossible that a girl could be an astronaut someday. It's hot and muggy in the kitchen. There is a clothes horse beside the storage heater, draped with nylon stockings and slips and dress shields. Jesus looks down on us with his long hair and his sad face and his sacred heart. "Who's for more tea?" my granny asks. "I think I'll have another drop of whiskey," my father says. "It's going to be a long night." "Have you not had enough?" my granny says. My granny and my aunt are pioneers. They wear the pin. "Sure, how often," my father says, "will we get to see a man landing on the moon?" Granny's lips tighten. "My father isn't like this when we're at home. He hardly drinks whiskey at all." He unscrews the cap of the bottle. "Bet," he says, "will you have a drop for the night that's in it?" "No thanks, Mick," my mother says. My baby sister wakes inside her pram. My mother rocks her back to sleep. Between the eiderdowns and the storage heaters, I'm sweltering hot. I shove an elbow out of my way. I doze. "Wake up, children," my father says. The man on the television is excited. Something is about to happen. The man on the television says that the door is about to open. Then he says, "Not yet." He explains the sun and the moon and the earth again, like my teacher did, except not with an orange. He holds the small model of the command module in his left hand and the lunar module in his right hand. The lunar module is the spidery thing we can see on the television. It's called the eagle. It doesn't look anything like an eagle. We wait. Granny makes more tea and orange squash for us. I need to pee. "You'll miss it," my aunt says. "Go on," my mother says. "I'll come and get you if anything happens." I walk barefoot down the corridor to my granny's bathroom. It smells of 4711 perfume and talcum powder. I look out the window for the moon, but I can't see it. Last year, we went on holiday in a tent to Silver Strand. I saw the moon every night. It rose later and later and got bigger and bigger until it was full as a shilling. I thought we'd be able to look up tonight and watch the spaceship landing on the moon. But my father said, "No, it's too far away. We can only see it on the television." When I come back into the kitchen, nothing has happened. The man on the television tries to be interesting. The Sacred Heart looks down on us, his red candle flame flickering. "Maybe they should go to bed," my granny says. "Ah, no," my father says. "They'll never see the like of this again." I doze. "Wake up, children," my mother says. The door of the lunar module is open. It frames a dark space. A man dressed in a fat white suit and a big glass mask appears in the doorway. Everything moves in slow motion, but my mother and my father and my aunt and my granny are excited now, and we are excited because they are excited. It is 39 minutes after 2 o'clock in the morning. More waiting. I half doze. At 56 minutes after 2 o'clock, the man comes down the ladder backwards, slowly, slowly, and then he touches the ground. We see the mark of his big boot in the sand, and then he's walking, he's bouncing on the moon.